Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is Paulette Young speaking, your host. You're going to be joined by Selena Lindsay, and she'll talk about herself briefly, and Dr. Faduma Adol. Tonight's topic is sickle cell anemia. Has it increased or decreased? Can one stop a baby from having sickle cell anemia and other blood disorder diseases? We're going to focus on the sickle cell anemia. It's more common in African Americans and people from Mediterranean countries like the Middle East and India. 1 out of 500 African Americans is born with the disease. Scientists believe it is more common in tropical Africa and Asia because the sickle cell traits protect people from malaria. They said that in ancient times. So if you have the trait, you won't necessarily have the disease, but you can pass the trait to your children. The other thing I want to point out, about 1,000 infants each year here in the United States come down with sickle cell anemia. Globally, they're at 500,000 infants are born with this disease. And I guess my question is, they can stop it. But those blood tests have to be done. It used to be back in 1974 and in the 70s, it used to be a requirement before you got married so that you knew if you had the trait or not. So when it came to having children, if two people both had the traits, it would be advised you not to have kids because the 1 in 4 chance that you would end up with a child with sickle cell anemia. So anyway, I have Selena Lindsay on the line. Selena, you want to just give briefly about 30 seconds something about yourself?
Good evening, all. This is Selena Lindsay, and primarily I'm an entrepreneur specializing with nonprofit industries and I'm an accountant. And some of those nonprofits and what they do in your community to benefit the people, we'll talk about a little bit after this show.
Okay. And then Dr. Faduma Adol.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Faduma Adol. I'm a pediatrician. And I'm here to learn more and give some of my opinion, and you are welcome.
Okay, and we also have someone in the 413 area. You could either listen or talk. It's up to you. Okay. All right. Who wants to talk first? Yeah, Dr. Faduma Adol or Selena?
Of course, Selena first.
Okay.
After Selena, you know, like she's our leader.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, my sister.
Well, I think when you talk about sickle cell anemia, people tend to think that primarily since you named several different countries, that it's, I talk to people and they say, okay, it's a black thing. And it's important for them to know that it's an everybody thing. It is true that the minority seem to be the ones in the United States that have it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a round-the-world thing, and it is something we need to be more consciously aware of. And some of the things that they don't do, I would say good advice for young people is if you want to, just like you want to go to college and you want to make yourself out of somebody, well, then why do you want to find out that after you made something out of yourself that the person that you picked out that you want to be with, it would be not advisable that you have children because you're going to be dealing with something that is horrific. And I think Dr. Adama can talk about how sickle cell anemia, because people just, it just rolls off your tongue as to what it is. And most people don't understand how crippling and how devastating this disease is.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Dr. Adama.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a very devastating disease, and people should think before. And as you said, you know, like it can affect like many people, like people living in a malaria zone, like Mediterranean, but mostly affects to the African. And this is why it happened. This like what is the nature and the process of the disease? Because what happened is like a gene mutation, you know, like a. Suddenly people, they were normal and they were having like this devastating and like malaria, you know, like a deadly disease, you know, like and see the environment changes like and our system, you know, like makes a mechanism of defense, you know, to defend this the malaria when it affects you like maybe in a week or a few days can kill you. And then there where it happened, the gene mutation, so the sickle, like the hemoglobin, the one, the protein that carries the oxygen from the lung to the whole body, that protein changes. It becomes deformed. Like that's why they call sickle cell anemia. It becomes like a sickle shaped, you know, like a shaped, you know, like a, it become a rigid, you know, like a. So what happens is when the malaria, like and bites you, and you have a. The disease, they should survive inside your hemoglobin, but the system will destroy with this cell, and they will be eliminated. So people won't die for malaria, but in at the same time they're getting like this disease. But usually these people, they have only the trait, like just one gene, like from their parents. This is to protect them. But the problem will happen is when two people who are a carrier and they have the trait, when they get married and there is a chance, like a recessive disease, like which they get like 25% of their children, and they become like a sickle cell disease in a state of trait. And that's where we're having the problem. So like what happens is like this, you know, like this cell, like the one carries the hemoglobin and the hemoglobin that carries the oxygen is deformed and then occludes the small capillary and artery, and there where you have a pain, and then you will have like not enough oxygenation, and then, you know, like by the time goes, you know, like it gets like worse and worse, you know, like destroying almost every organ, especially the spleen, where we like where we eliminate these things, and then sometimes even they get like a infection, like a hip replacement, like a necrosis, because the hip doesn't get like enough circulation, and at the end they will give like what is called like and pulmonary hypertension, because all the small capillary in the respiratory area will be occluded, and sometimes they have even crisis, so much painful. And there are, thank God, like things are improving, you know, like there is for example, like blood pressure, it has side effects because you will lose so much iron, but still at least help is hydration. And then they give like what is called like there is some medication that they give, and I forget, like hydroxyl urea, which is like increases like a fetal hemoglobin, so you won't have at least 20-25% that will help you. But now the good news is, you know, like still we don't know at the end, but the good news is like a gene transplant, you know, like people, they take like your stem cell from your own blood, and they modify and they put back, and this one they produce a normal hemoglobin, you know. But so many people are getting better, but everything that's new, at the end, maybe in 10 years, 20 years from now, we really don't know what's going to happen. But so far, people are having that, which is like a good news, you know. But if you look for transplant, most of the time you can find a matching. The people who match them is their siblings and their relatives. And they might carry already the disease, and that's not like really very good. It will be very difficult, but this gene therapy is the hope so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to mention again for those that are listening, you are on American Health Crisis, through Blog Talk Radio. This is Paulette Young, your host, and you just listened to Dr. Faduma Adol, who's a pediatrician, and also Selena Lindsay. So if you want to talk, you can. You have to dial the number 858-769-4936, and if you want to either ask a question or voice your opinion, just press 1, and then you'll be able to, we'll be able to hear you. I wanted to bring up, too, Dr. Faduma has been talking about the red blood cells. And in a normal red blood cell, it carries a protein called hemoglobin A, which is good because it can carry oxygen to all the organs. But in your sickle cell case, instead of it having a protein hemoglobin A, it has a hemoglobin S, the sickle cell. And the problem that happens is the cell changes to like a sickle cell, and when it's going through the different vessels, tiny blood vessels, it gets stuck. And then when it gets stuck, it can cause the flow of blood to stop, causing a problem. And she mentioned about infections also, and that's why, because it's not going to change its shape where it can keep flowing the way a normal red blood cell would do. And she's also mentioned, and Selena also too, that, you know, when you have two parents, both parents can be the carrier, they come together, there's no blood test before they get together or anything like that, that can pass on to the children. And then you end up with a problem where the child may come down with sickle cell, and that's an unfortunate, very painful disease, and it causes damages to organs and other complications, as Dr. Faduma Adol had mentioned about getting infections. And those are some of the, just a few of the things. We've come a long ways with sickle cells, and the reports is showing that before the person may live up to age 18, but they have been, you know, living a little bit longer, up to their 40s. I do have an uncle who didn't pass away till he was like, I believe Uncle Billy was 67 or 68, and he had sickle cell, so he was considered one of the rare ones, few that lived a lot longer than what is normal.
And also, too, the other thing we kind of need to talk about, too, is people that do that is, of course, we all know in these times it's bad enough to, of course, if you, whether you got the Obama plan or you got, I don't care what kind of health plan. Sickle cell anemia is very expensive because we're talking about blood. And when you have those complications, again, I stipulate, when you have children, my heart goes out to a child, and, of course, Dr. Adoma, who works, is a pediatrician, your heart goes out to a child. A child that's hurting like this and going through all of this, again, I can't stress enough, that I don't care what society says. If you're thinking about fooling around with somebody and it's going to go a step further and you're going to get married, the possibility of your children, you need to get yourself checked out, because this is something that it's just horrendous to pass on to a child when it can be stopped. And the expense and what it will do to your life, this is what I call not only a life-altering thing for a child, but for a family, it is just horrendous.
Why do you think they stopped the testing? Because back in the 70s, you were blood tests prior to marriage.
Well,
and now,
it's always motivated by money. And the other one is insurance policy. And because you're dwelling into questions that the authoritative person could probably get sued. For simply asking, it would be almost like today, in today's time, asking what gender are you. You don't have that right.
What do you mean? You can't ask the person what they are.
Yes. If they go into the bathroom with you, that's why the door has both male and female on there. They go in there. You can't ask them what you got in there. if you own the establishment, you can't come in there and say, okay, let's see who you are. That's why you got to have both male and female on the door and let them do what they want to do. And because it became a legalized thing, and it costs so much money to dwell into that, and who said he said what? It's the same thing. What do you do with an individual that is not voluntarily giving you information? How is that controlled? Because even the insurance company will tell you they can't give out your medical information.
But it seems like
that's
it would be
liability.
Less costly if they ran those blood tests that people knew their status versus not knowing anything.
Well, I'm not into biblical times and say put a stamp on their head. But at the same time, my heart goes out to children, and it just about makes you want to say, you know, somebody got to mark these people.
Yeah. The other thing that I believe, like, it might help and eliminate, like, but in a, over a year, maybe 100 years or 200 years from now, because people nowadays, like, they don't marry only in their race, but the difference, the intermarriage, you know, like, when people just, they have trade and they married another person who doesn't have nothing, and then little by little, maybe it will be eradicated, you know, in that case. But it's a very slow process that, you know. So, for example, if people avoid, like, people who are background in a malaria zone, because those people, whether they are Africans or Mediterranean or European, whoever they are, they carry the trait. But these people, they avoid, you know, like to marry same people who have this trait, you know, like and they or even if that they have a trait and they start marrying like a different intermarriage, it will be, you know, like will disappear. That's what I believe.
Yeah, because Caucasians don't have the trait at all.
They don't have, yeah.
At least it's not documented. Now, with interracial marriages, that would be different. Because you do have a lot of already interracial marriage, and it's possible that if one of the parents did have the trait, that still is being passed to the next generation.
Yeah.
That's why I really believe for genetic disorders.
No, one is a gene, not next generation. One is a gene is there, it goes forever unless you stop. For example, now what they have in hope is a gene therapy that produces like normal hemoglobin. You know, like in that case, maybe we can stop. But still, we don't know how will be, you know, like, and so far it's good, but 10 years from now, nobody knows what's going to happen, this, like, what the side effect will be of this gene therapy, you know. But that's the better one, because you're not taking from other person, you're taking from your own. There's no way that your system rejects this, and, you know, like, and it builds a new cell. And that's the most exciting one, yeah.
Yeah, I just think, you know, blood testing, genetic testing should be a thing that is done on a routine basis rather throw it away, just like I've talked about the HIV testing procedures. Two tests is better than one, so people know their status early. Before they get involved, they need both tests, not the one test, as I've always mentioned, the importance of taking both tests if you're going to really know your status. So it just goes back to this. I don't know. I'm a firm believer if more money was poured into those areas, you'll have less people getting sick or coming down with things that they shouldn't be coming down with, all because there's no routine test being done. And then you discover, like, after the fact rather than before, or people getting involved. sexually, and then you found that, hey, your partner had HIV, and now you have it too, where if they had been tested ahead of time, you could have nicked that in the butt and you wouldn't keep having it spreading from person to person, all because the testing procedures aren't in place. Again, we've been. If you've been listening, you're on American Health Crisis. Your host, Paulette Young, and you've heard Dr. Fadumo Adol and also Selena Lindsay. Selena's going to tell us about some of the other organizations that she's involved in. So have a pen and paper and write down the information. Okay.
Oh, boy. All right, are we ready to talk about these things here? All right, one of the first organizations I'd like to talk about would be called VeteranCareSolutions.org. Again, VeteranCareSolutions.org. That would be the website, and you can get all of your information there. Veteran Care Solutions works with veterans in terms of finding them housing and providing the necessary care with MSW, social workers, getting their hair cut. And these individuals can also be individuals that are ambulatory but just have a problem, certain types of social problems and needing a place of excellent care. Veteran Care Solutions is run by LaShonda Jones, and she can be reached by calling area code 909-329-8288. Again, 909-329-8288. The second organization I'd like to talk about is located in Colton, California, and any of you that are indigent and you need food or you have some hunger issues, on every fourth Saturday of every month, this organization is they're out there and they're usually grilling hamburgers, hot dogs, and on top of that, you can get a sack of groceries. And the name of the organization is called Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. and it's a very catchy name, and it's run by Kathy Braxton. And where you will be going to in Colton, California is 290 East O Street. And you can reach Kathy at area code 562-313-0041. Again, that phone number 562-313-0041. The next organization, I constantly talk about it because I'm a director over there. The name of that organization is Sowing Seeds for Life. All one word. Sowing Seeds for Life is the second largest food bank in Southern California. Sowing Seeds for Life is located at 1350 Arrow Highway. What we do there is we hand out food, and that food is distributed on the first and the third Wednesday of every month. There are a number of different satellite food banks, which they are our partners. And they're located in various different cities. For any information about Sowing Seeds for Life, or perhaps you'd like to make a donation, please call Fran Robinson at 909-293-7735, extension 232. Again, that number is area code 909-293-7735, extension 232. The next organization is called Coley Outreach. Coley Outreach is run by Mr. Keith Coley, And primarily what he specializes in is helping parolees and various different individuals that in some way have some infraction with the law obtain a job, find a place to live, find a place to receive services for counseling. And you can reach Mr. Keith Coley at area code 909-358-7391. At the end of every show, I always have my little comment, and my comment tonight is as follows. I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I am an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues. Sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I work hard to be. I take risks, and I use myself. I tell fly stories and experiences. I share my weaknesses and mistakes, along with embarrassment. I use me as the guinea pig. All of this is a belief that I have to help those that cannot help themselves. I am Selena A. Lincoln. And I thank you for listening tonight. And again, we'll turn the show back over to Ms. Paulette Lee.
Yes, we'll be on the air again. It's called American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. If you want to be a part of the show, just call 858-769-4936. You can either listen or you can be a part of the program. Next week, we're on the air every Monday, same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. So, and we'll have another hot topic that you'll want to listen to and tell others to listen also. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.